Okay, we'll be quiet now. It's being recorded.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This, I'm Donna, and I will be helping you later on with this conference call. So I'm just delighted to be here, and I could hear as I was coming on, I could hear the other Donna, Donna Dreegan, announcing your names. I just think that's wonderful that you're all with us. And if Marlene is here, and we might as well go ahead and get started here in a minute, is there anybody else that would like to tell us who you are?
I'm Carlene Tagstrom.
Hi, Carlene. I'm glad you're with us.
I gave Lois the number, but I don't know if she's been able to dial it or not.
Well,
are
she
you
may
on
join
there,
us.
Lois?
She may join us eventually. I just talked to a lady named Joyce Saxon, who was hoping to get on later if she can. She needs assistance. She's in a different place now, and she needs a little help in finding out how to get on. But I think we'll have a real good time tonight. I have just been reviewing some amazing things about what is happening to our planet, and I think you're all going to really enjoy hearing it. I'm going to mute all of you here so that and let's see, Marlene will have to hit star 6 to come back. But I'm going to mute you first. And if you need to talk, you can hit star 6 and then hit star 6 again afterwards. Marlene will explain this to you, though, in a minute. Okay. Marlene, if you're there,
yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, I want you all to meet Marlene Prescott. You all met Donna Dreegan, and I think she introduced each of you that were there at the time. And there will be other people joining, but we won't always be able to hear them, and they will be muted when they join. So Marlene lives in Hornby, Tennessee, and she's a very dear friend of mine, and many of us, we just love her. And she has an amazing and interesting job that the masters felt she was ready for in a prison. And if you ever would like to join Marlene in one of her calls, she has a telephone call every so often. I think it's, is it Tuesday night, Marlene, when you have it?
Yes, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. So if any of you would like to join Marlene in a phone call and pray with her and others that join her, let her know at the end of our class when we have our prayer time and kind of a discussion time if anybody would like. Also, Donna Dreegan, I hope she got to tell you, they have a number, she has a number of, she and Sharon Wallace have a number of book studies and groups that get together on the East Coast, and they would love to have any of you join, and you don't have to live near them for all of these. We have meetings and groups all over the United States, and we gather together in groups on the phone because we don't exactly live next door. So with that, I'm going to let you go ahead and start, Marlene.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. So we'd like to get acquainted with you and learn more about you and introduce you to others in your area. And if you'd like to know more like-minded people, just contact us. We have friends from all over the world who would also like to meet you. And would you like to stay updated with the Heart Center activities? Let us know. We will give you the information to have access to the Heart Center activities. So you're invited to share any prayer requests with us at the end of our class, and that usually occurs at approximately 9:15 Central Time. So we have a Heart Share team, and our active members are Barb, Cindy, Donna Kort, Noor, Donna Dreegan, Sharon, Dwyn, and myself, Marlene. And we present this class, and we are available to answer questions and find out answers that we can pray with and encourage you. So if you are attending this class and you want to help us, please contact Donna Kors, Barbara Gabbert, or any of the team members. And we also have a prayer team that prays for everyone we know of that is invited to this class. And we're composed of friends worldwide whose desire is to hold the balance of light upon the earth by emanating light as directed by our Father, Mother, God, and higher beings. And the Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religious or non-religious background. We're Catholics, Buddhists, Baptists, Unitarians, agnostics, you name it. So we work closely with the Ascended Masters, and those are beings who have fulfilled their karmic debt on Earth and now work with the angels in heaven and other cosmic beings to assist us towards our ascension. So the mission of the Heart Center community is that we realize personal enlightenment through our higher selves, and we share the Ascended Master's teachings and love wisdom throughout the earth. So I want to tell you about tonight's class. We got a great class tonight with Vavasvata Manu, who speaks through David Lewis, our founder and spiritual teacher. And if you listen carefully to this Manu's instructions, you'll experience a miracle this year. And certain emotional challenges that occur astrologically and psychologically will be healed. So right now I'd like to ask Sharon Wallace, who is one of our beloved team members, I love her dearly, to give us a brief introduction to this beloved master. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Okay. Vavasvata Manu is the Manu of the fifth root race, along with his consort who remains in embodiment. And for those of you who are new, a Manu is a cosmic being who guides a root race, the ideal or model of perfection. The Manus in the divine complements represent the Father, Mother, God to their respective root races. Members of a root race embody together and have a unique divine plan and mission to fulfill on Earth. As Manus, they hold the archetypal pattern for that root race and sponsor the Christic path for all souls of that evolution. Vavasvata is a Sanskrit word meaning sun-born or born of the sun. Helena Blavatsky said that he is the progenitor of our fifth race, who saved it from the flood which nearly exterminated the fourth root race. He is described by C.W. Leadbeater as a kingly figure, the tallest of all the adepts, 6'8", perfectly proportioned with flowing brown beard and brown eyes. He is the representative of our, he is the representative man of our race, and every member of that race is directly descended from him. His focus is in the Himalayas, where he magnetizes the souls evolving within the fifth root race to the pattern of the Christ consciousness that he holds on their behalf. I have a quote from him from one of his heart streams, an older heart stream, that I'd like to read to you. He says, "Learn this one lesson from a guru who has had hundreds and thousands of victorious chelas. Absolute obedience to the teacher will secure instantaneous mastery. When you think you are alone, separate, misunderstood, maligned, remember Vavasvata Manu and call for my pattern to appear. Call for your pattern to appear and know that I am in the center of every pattern as the white fire core consciousness." He says, "I withdraw to the heart of the crystal rays, and when you invoke those rays, I shall come forth and place upon you my electronic presence to raise you into the pattern of God identity." What a wonderful being. Back to you, Marlene.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sharon. All right. Okay, so we don't have to be perfect to be friends with the Masters. They want us to be our friends and are here to serve us and help us come up higher. So I suggest that you may have a pen and a paper and possibly use a landline phone with a speaker if possible. A landline phone only costs a few dollars more than a regular phone, and your hands are then free. And sometimes they work better than a cell phone. Now, during our class, we keep callers muted to eliminate any background noise. So right now, we have muted you. Now, there might be an opportunity for questions or comments. And if that happens, you just press star 6 so we can hear you. We ask that you be fairly brief so we can finish our class on time. When you're finished speaking, you'll have to please press star 6 again, and you'll be muted again, and that will eliminate any background noise on our class. So right now, I'd like to see if anyone in our HeartShare team, if possibly Barb's there, maybe you can give us an invocation. Does anyone like to give an invocation? Okay, let me give an invocation then. In the name I am that I am, I call to my Father, Mother, God, beloved Alpha and Omega, Helios and Vesta, Sana Kamaran, Lady Master Venus, Omri Tas, Zarathustra, Melchizedek, Kuan Yin, Goddess of Mercy, Kali Ma, Hermes Trismegistus, Serapis Bey, and the Seraphim and Cherubim of God, beloved Vavas Bapa Manu, I ask that you be with us during this class, that you overshadow us, that we may emanate the love and the light and the wisdom, power that you have, that you can ray toward us. And we ask that as all of us here on the call are united, one with you this night, we ask for all the blessings that the law will allow. We thank you ever so much. It is done, it is finished, it is sealed, and so it is. Amen.
Okay, so I'd like to explain that we request prayer for all our events, which when we pray, we visualize as positive happenings. And so we just completed our spring equinox seminar, which happened on March 19th through the 22nd. And right now we're in a series of 12 Sunday discourses from Livingston, Montana on Melchizedek, where we're building a strong foundation for the release of new Essene teachings at our summer solstice. And also, our HeartShare team members are lovingly planning and hosting another teleclass on April 30th, where David Lewis will speak on how to deal with intense personal and planetary changes. And also, Saint Germain on Advanced Alchemy, Volume 1, is God's Victorious Success, along with El Morya's Advanced Studies of the Human Aura book. We also desire for our Google Ad Grants campaign to be increasingly more effective, and that a special band of angels continue to assist and bless all who are working to increase our online exposure and bring more of our heart friends home to the Heart Center. So that's a few things that are going on with the Heart Center at the present time. All right, so right now what we're going to do is a breathing meditation. We do a short breathing meditation. It's also called pranayama, to relax and align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. So consider your breath as a gift and part of the Holy Spirit as we do this together, which you can do with the phone in one hand. So close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Now, with your eyes closed, look up towards that place in the center of your forehead between your eyebrows. This is the location of your third eye chakra. So see your breath coming in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body. Mother Mary said that the Holy Spirit is of a female gender, thus we say her when referring to the Holy Spirit. Now follow me as I say a mantra and I give you instructions to breathe in, hold it in, breathe out, and hold it out. Each statement is to the count of eight. And if you want to do this a different way, that's fine. So let us begin. Breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out her light. I breathe out her light to the world. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Let's do it one more time. Okay, breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out her light. I breathe out her light to the world. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Okay, isn't that excellent? Okay, so you can also say, I breathe in my solar presence, or you can say, I am resting in my presence. Whatever is easier for you, make it your own. But it's just a wonderful breathing meditation. I'm sure you'll have lots of fun with it. Okay, so tonight we will share together a prayer to Archangel Michael. It should be on the back of your snail mail, or it may have been emailed to you. So right now you're muted, so you will only hear me say the prayer, but we're saying it together. We can repeat this prayer with me just one time. In the name of Archangel Michael, I say, O God, I am here to serve with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my being. I give you my heart, O Lord. Live in me, love through me, protect me, and all who are on this call from all distractions and technical problems. Allow your heart, your mind, your being to flow and sing within me to serve all life onto their freedom in the light. May we all be filled with the love and light essential for the healing of our Mother Earth. Okay, thank you. Okay, so next we're going to do a song. It's called The Great Central Sun We Praise. It's number 53 in our songbook. Now, Donna will play the song at this time. You won't be able to hear us singing, but you will be one with us as you sing with us. And visualize all of us as one as you sing this song. And feel the presence of Devasvatu Manu, who comes to us from out of the Great Central Sun. So I'm going to turn the class over to Donna Kors and let her play this beautiful song for us. Donna?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Marlene. We'll play the song, and then we're going to go right into our art stream, and you will hear what happened when David Christopher Lewis was aligned with Devasvatu Manu and spoken through just as he turned himself over in mentally and in a state of meditation, allowing this great Manu to speak through him and tell us what is happening on the planet at this time. The song, Great Central Sun We Praise, is recognizing the power of this great sun, which you cannot see, we cannot see, which is behind the sun of our planet, in an area that is quite distant and difficult to discern, even with a telescope. So, but it's a powerful place because many, many masters and angels go there often, and it's a very important place, which you will learn about later if you stay with us in our teachings. And you noticed probably that when Marlene was giving the opening invocation, she mentioned many names. There are many masters and many angels and many cosmic beings helping us. And now at this time, more than ever, they are helping us. They are bringing more light to our planet. The light is a difficulty, and it is a challenge for those people who do not honor God in some form, in some way. Beings that are completely atheistic may actually feel pain and disruption and emotional upheavals, and people that have not grown a lot are suffering from different kinds of emotional trials. We all are, in fact, a little bit more because of this new light and the shift that is occurring on our planet. So as you sing this song with us, visualize this powerful love coming from the great central sun through the sun of our planet, through our masters and angels, and right down into our hearts, and strengthening us and helping us to adjust to this new time, which is becoming eventually the new crystal age or the new crystal golden age. So here we go. Okay, bear with me for a minute as I bring up our heart stream tonight. It'll take just a moment.
of beingness and an expression of divinity that calls all to be fulfilled in their own highest God-self ideal.
I want to stop for just a moment. We missed the first little part here, but he says, I am Vaivasvata Manu, and this day I choose to emanate upon, within, and around the earth and through you, the God ideal of the fifth root race, now coming to completion with some of you upon this sphere, and also self-realized through many already in the heaven world who, as ascended beings, come with me this day to ray forth a new archetype of beingness and an expression of divinity that calls all to be fulfilled in their own highest God self ideal. So he's saying here that we are the God ideal, those of us who are honoring the masters and the angels and working with them and helping to bring in this new age by the example of our lives of service and love, sacrifice, surrender, selflessness, and just totally engrossing ourselves in love and a light. So we are, he's calling us here, the God ideal of the fifth root race. And I might tell you that as I looked into it and did some research, I found that many, many clairvoyant and intuitive beings in the past have predicted this particular time. Edgar Cayce is somebody that a lot of people have read about, and he prophesied the rise of the fifth root race between 1998 and 2015. And I think it's going a little bit longer than that. But he said in his book from chapter 14, he said, there are old souls and there are young souls. Some of us have grown spiritually. Others have regressed. Some have many experiences on earth to their credit, others very few. But it has been according to the will of the individual, not God's. God gave us free will, so we decide. I call to mind Edgar Cayce's statement where he said, all those who have forgotten God will be gradually eliminated or will be at least eliminated from earth, from this planet. And only souls that have reached a certain level of development who are remembering God, seeking God, and wanting to grow will be permitted to incarnate on this planet at a certain point. He says there is a place for all of us in the great heart of the universe. It is, however, given us to know that it is a special privilege to incarnate on this planet, and that many souls who have not been very enlightened or very spiritually inclined are stuck in the astral plane of this planet. They haven't been able to go up to the light. They haven't been able to ascend up to heaven or transcend up to heaven. And many of them crowd about this lower area of earth where we are, seeking an opportunity to invade the physical bodies of others. And I don't know how many of you saw a movie a long time ago called The Ghost, but you saw in that movie that people who smoked, for instance, often had beings around them that they were completely unaware of. They were trying to vicariously live off their smoking habit. Or people who were alcoholics had beings that would even enter their bodies as their auras became weak from the alcoholic addictions, or people on drugs would be invaded by these entities that were surrounding our planet in the astral plane, wanting to live vicariously in people that had the habits that they had. And they still had the habit, but they couldn't do anything about it, so they're pretty miserable. If they're stuck here on this planet and they were addicted to something like cocaine or whatever it may be, alcohol, nicotine, different things, and that they pass away and they did not have very much light to get them up higher. They're stuck here on the planet, and they try to live vicariously through other beings on the planet that have the same habits. And so he says, we infer that for this age, the restrictions are more stringent and are getting more stringent. As we have come along through many lives, we hopefully have matured in soul attributes, and gradually much of the human race will get better. He says, evolution was for the soul's growth. So coming into this earth has been for the soul's evolution.
Blessed ones, for you to manifest fully your I Am God presence while living upon this earth requires that you dig deep and resolve issues within your subconscious, that you discover from within yourself the way, the truth, and the life of the initiate, the one who would be tested, who would be tried, and inspired by the eternal love fires of God to understand all within the receptacle of the chalice of being. And once you have fulfilled all by resolving those deep-seated issues of your psychology, it is then that you may rise into the new psyche of divine light. Your heroic I Am ego self. And from this Atman manifestation of the monad of your being, suffused in God, a new aroma manifests through your awareness. A new divine light may be expressively outpictured within your world and your current everyday consciousness wed to the divine.
I'd like to stop here for a minute and ask Donna Dregan if you could explain what it means for us to be the fifth root race, or what root races mean. So Donna, if you're there, hit star.
Yes. We have five root races, and the fifth root race means that we will be hopefully ascending, many of us, and unfortunately some of the still ones from the fourth root race will also be ascending at the end, hopefully at the end of this. And we're on the green ray of God's healing and truth.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful. Yes, there have been many root races before us, and we are on the fifth one, and they last for, well, thousands of years, many, many years. And as the cycle comes to an end, then the next root race or the next race or group will come. So, and when I say race, that does not mean individual races. It means all of us that are on this planet at this time, all different colors, shapes, and forms of us. We are one race as far as the Vaibhas Vata Manu is concerned, and as he speaks, that is what he means. He does not mean individual races the way we think of it. So let's go on here.
Many are lagging behind the eternal cycles of light as they would be objectified within the self. And therefore the Manus, Lord Himalaya, the God and Goddess Meru, the Divine Director, and I have had Congress together to consider all of the dynamics of how we may assist mankind in accelerating consciousness and new spirals of divine evolution within the framework of their co-creative lives upon Earth. We have discerned much by the grace of the Holy Spirit herself, and the Logos has stepped forth as the divine word to arouse within the higher minds of mankind that which we creatively stimulate through patterns of perfection as engrams of light embedded within them. And therefore this day there is a new wave pattern of co-creativity bursting forth upon the scene of this earth to give rise to this new consciousness of the new age. And we, the Manus of the fourth, fifth, and sixth root races, support and fully endorse that which the divine director himself is raying forth and manifesting through his God consciousness. Therefore, blessed ones, it is imperative that you each one self-discover who you are, self-realize God within, find the nexus of the eternal now in the day-to-day equation of your lives, fulfilled in divine beingness, realized in perception of a higher reality beyond the physical plane alone.
I want to share with you just a little bit about your subconscious and what it means to actually get into the deep or inner parts of yourself and know what that means and what happens when you do that. I read a very interesting thing here. It's called Your Subconscious Mind Can Do Anything, and here's how you use its power. The most important thing about the subconscious mind that you need to get to know is that it is always turned on. Your subconscious mind is actually headed by your Father, Mother, God, your higher self. Some people call it your solar presence or your oversoul. It's always turned on. That is, it's active day and night. And regardless of what you are doing, it's active and aware. The subconscious mind actually controls your body. You cannot hear this silent inner process with your conscious effort. You need to start taking care of your subconscious mind, though, in order for you to really grow spiritually. And the only way, or I shouldn't say the only way, but the one of the best ways is through meditation. First, listen. Secondly, meditate. Thirdly, affirm, and I will tell you about that in a few minutes. Study and learn to meditate, because you will get to know yourself better than this way than any other way that I know of. Visualize what is right and good that you want to see happen. Invoke the light. Call upon the masters, the angels. Call upon your Father, Mother, God first and foremost. Act the way you know is right. Record what is happening when you meditate and when you have your experiences, your various experiences, and then share what you're learning. The most important thing in everything I've read and studied on this is love. If you learn to love, you will actually learn to know your innermost self. There are numerous examples of healing, by the way, through the thought process. One man that I read about here recently, well, actually, I know him. He got in the habit of saying something that goes like this. I am the love. He had cancer, by the way, of his lungs. And he said, I am the love of my lungs. I am the lungs of love. and he began to love his lungs. And he repeated this over and over, something that was very similar to this. It's not the exact wording, but very similar. I am the love of my lungs. I am the lungs of love. And as he repeated it and visualized sending love and light to his lungs, he began to realize that if he was going to really love his lungs, he had to be very careful what he said, because when you speak, you have to use your lungs. He had to be very careful how he treated his lungs, so he stopped smoking. He had to be very careful to breathe deeply and give his lungs plenty of air, so he began to breathe deeply and walk outside and enjoy the sun upon his chest. After he did this, he said, it says he did this two or three times a day, saying, I am the love of my lungs, and visualizing what his lungs needed. His cancer disappeared. So the moral of this story, and this man is still alive, and it's 3-4 years later, and he has not had any sign of any spots or problems in his lungs since then, and he had been given just a short time to live. So loving yourself is the first thing you do. Learn to love yourself, and I'm going to share with you the best way I know to do this. The best way I know is by using an emotional freedom technique and reading things like this. I am the love of beauty. I am the beauty of love. I am the love of harmony. I am the harmony of love. You just take, there's many, many ways and many statements you could write for yourself, and I would be glad to send you a list of 33 of these, and you pick those out that you need. They're all on love and absorbing love into your mind, your heart, your body, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your throat, all of your chakras. And as you absorb this love into every part of your body and state this fact, like saying, I am the love of God. I am a God of love. In John 10:34 in the Bible, it says, ye are gods. Jesus is saying this to his disciples. He says, you are gods. And he's saying this to all of the other disciples in addition to his 12 disciples in a group gathering. He says, you are gods. And you are all sons of the Most High God. If we are sons of God, if we are heirs of God, then we are gods. We are little gods. We are not the big capital letter God, but we are gods. So that's a very powerful statement. I am the love of God. I am a God of love, because it is teaching you to love yourself. You can say something like, I am the love of life. I am the life of love. I am the love of wholeness. I am the wholeness of love. If there's something that you're dealing with physically, that's a wonderful thing to use. There are many of these, and I will be glad to email or mail 33 of them to you and help you get started, if you ever call me, in doing this yourself, making up your own love statements. The technique that I would suggest you use with these is called emotional freedom technique, in which you tap the top of your head and you tap certain places on your face, on your shoulders, and on your arms as you say this. And it actually causes the absorption of this very thought, whatever it is on love, into the cells of your body and will change you and help you get to the deepest part of yourself. Now, emotional freedom technique is usually called EFT. You may want to write that down, because if you forget what this statement is that I just said, if you forget, let's see, what do those stand for? Well, I'll just put EFT on Google. It works. Just put EFT on Google. I tried it myself this afternoon, and you will find a number of websites that come up telling you about emotional freedom technique. I have a dear friend, Patricia Carlson, who uses something very much like this when she helps people overcome problems that they have, that they have had difficulty overcoming, such as forgiving. You can say, I am the love of forgiveness. I am the forgiveness of love. When you have problems being happy, I am the love of happiness. I am the happiness of love. And you say this a number of times every day, tapping your head, your shoulders, your arms in these certain places that you can see on your computer, doing that, it will ingrain this thought into you and change your life. I guarantee it. So now we will go on. We just talked about the subconscious and dealing with the deepest parts of it. And so now we are going to go on a little bit on this. Maybe I'll say a couple more things about the subconscious. Your subconscious minds, including your father, mother, God, not only controls all the processes of the body, but also knows the answers to many questions and can solve many problems. So when you meditate with your higher self, who is in charge of your subconscious, you will get many answers that you did not know were in there. Before going to bed, refer to your father, mother, God, and your subconscious mind with any specific request. And soon you will see its miraculous power in action. You may wake up with an answer. I remember once when I was in school, some years ago, I was trying to get my Bachelor of Science in Nursing, and I had already had 3 kids and a husband and a job and a lot of other things going on, and I was had to take this required course in algebra, and I detested math, did not like it a bit, and I hadn't had time to study much. So I was praying. And as I went to sleep that night, praying for help for this test I was going to have to take the next day at the University of California and in California, and I was so worried about it, but when I woke up in the middle of the night, something woke me up, and I realized I was in a classroom learning about algebra when I was woken up. So I went back to sleep, dreamed about it some more. More stuff came into my mind, and when I woke up the next morning, I knew algebra in a better way than when I had gone to bed. And I did okay. I passed the test. So it's amazing what your subconscious will teach you as you turn it over and to your father, mother, God, and work with them. Anything that is captured in your subconscious, your higher self will help you use and will directly affect you in the forms of emotions, circumstances, and events. So you also need to watch closely what thoughts and ideas are most prevalent in your mind, because if your thoughts are continually based on how am I going to pay the bills, woe is me, that person doesn't like me, she didn't speak to me today, negative stuff like that, you will not evolve and you will not experience the love that will cover a multitude of sins, meaning things that have happened to you in your life. So here we go a little further.
There will be, through the stimulation of the ethers this day, and through this wave pattern of light, manifesting in many spheres of being and multi-dimensions of consciousness, a new light come to mankind, that if you choose to accept it, to discern the ramifications of its release, and accept the power and viability of its transformational change within you, then you will see dramatic God realizations throughout the nations, dearest ones. You will find answers to the dilemmas that mankind has created through their unconscious awareness outside of the circle of God identity. You will see delivered as missives of light, new teaching and new opportunities for divine self-expression within your lives and during your times of deep reflection and meditation. We will ensconce within your being, your auric field, your higher mind, those matrices of perfection and of the God ideal that we wield within our causal bodies on behalf of every life stream who has been a part of the root race evolutions that we have been progenitors of through our lives and beings within this earth. Yes, dearest ones, new opportunity is presented unto you. And if you would be self-directed by your I Am God presence, then we are there promulgating and initiating many new divine projects and initiatives. We are there working behind the scenes to ennoble a new consciousness upon earth. And there is the acceleration of frequencies manifesting through the minds of the Chohans of the rays that are therefore also extended unto many initiates of light across the earth. For they are the first ones that we ray forth these God ideals to and through on behalf of you, blessed ones. Therefore, listen to the Chohans during your excursions to their retreats in the etheric octaves of light while you sleep or consciously attend them during deep meditation and your out-of-body experiences. Listen to that which they are now front and center presenting to mankind as the ideal of each ray, as they model it to perfection, accentuate it through the higher life energies that they lovingly express. Study the lives of these ones and realize that if you can outpicture even a small percentage of that which they have self-realized in the completeness of their beings while yet upon earth, you will leap forward in great progress to understand who you are, to realize your fullest potential in the light.
Okay, I would just like to mention here that if you can get to a computer and call me or call any of the numbers you see on our website, we can help you very easily find all of these various messages that have come forth from people like the Chohans of the rays. The Chohans, the Manus, the Elohim, the angels, there's all different groups of higher beings, and they have their setup just like we have mayors and we have governors and we have the cabinet and we have the president. Just like we have a government, they have not exactly a government, but they have an arrangement where they each know their particular responsibilities and are reaching out to help us in the most emphatic way, especially today. So he says to study the lives of these ones and realize that if you can picture in your own life what they are doing and what they have done, because they all lived here on this planet at one time, but they have gradually gone up higher and higher as over a period of time until they have different responsibilities in different places in heaven that they lead and direct others. So I want to tell you just a little bit tonight about a man named Danyon. His name is Danyon Brinkley, and he wrote a book called Saved by the Light. He was a pugnacious bully as a kid. He beat up people, he was ornery, and eventually he grew up, he became a Marine, and then he He actually became used by the government in a classified way to assassinate certain people. And at one point, after he had gotten out of the Marines and had his own business and had married and settled down, kind of, he was talking on the phone to his best friend when he was struck by lightning, and it was such a tremendous strike that his imprint of his body was left on the ceiling and on the floor as he fell down, just like a burnt spot. And he was seriously expected not to live in very serious condition for 2 or 3 years after that. But as a result of having this happen to him, and as a result of his being pronounced dead for a certain period of time, they really didn't think he would survive, and he didn't for a while, but he came back. And when he came back, he told about this amazing experience he had in heaven. He said that he met this wonderful being of light who told him, let's see if I can find it here. Oh, he says, as these visions ended, I had this amazing realization that these beings of light were desperately trying to help us, not because we were such good guys, but because without us advancing spiritually here on Earth, they could not make progress in their world. In fact, he quotes one who said to him, "You humans are truly the heroes. Those who go to Earth are heroes and heroines because you are doing something that no other spiritual beings have the courage to do on their own. You have gone to Earth to co-create with God." These same beings gave him a huge assignment that he needed to accomplish once he got well. He goes on and he says, they communicated to me again their belief that humans were great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings that were being sent to Earth at this time. Although we could, because we had our own free will, we could be led astray by others and not fulfill our reason for being. We here see everyone who goes to the Earth as great adventurers, he said, this being. You had the courage to go and expand your life and take your place in the great adventure that God created, known as Earth. He then told me my purpose on Earth. He said, you are there to create spiritualistic capitalism. He said, you are to engage this coming new age by changing people's thought processes. Show people how to rely on their spiritual selves instead of the government and churches. Religion is fine, but don't let people be entirely controlled by it. Help them to know that they should not control others by it. Humans can be mighty spiritual beings if they are in alignment with us. All they need to realize is that love means treating others the way they themselves want to be treated. Then the being let me know that I was supposed to go back to Earth and what I was supposed to do. I was to create centers where people would come to reduce the stress in their lives and basically to get their heads on straight. Through this reduction of stress, said the light beings, humans would come to realize, as we do, that they are higher spiritual beings. They would become less fearful and more loving of their fellow man. And we will go into that a little bit more later.
The Master Saint Germain is here daily with you in preparation for the release unto this planet of his teachings on higher alchemy. He is looking for those who will use alchemy consciously in their lives on a persistent basis, mindful of the co-creative act of divine love pouring through their hearts through works of grace and blessing. Will you respond to the Master and engender within this earth the highest essences of the seventh ray of this age by both invoking that light consistently and modeling what the seventh root race man or woman in his and her highest ideal manifestation is your conscious life. It would be a great study, blessed ones, for you to consider all of the dynamics of what a true Aquarian individual is in the fullness of his, her being. And if you can truly say that you have given your all in understanding what the Divine Director and Saint Germain and Portia are representing and projecting into the higher awareness of mankind throughout the earth, and you have sought in some humble way to assist them in their endeavors, then we claim you as our own. Then we anoint you as initiates of this new age, and you may assist many in teaching and representing these highest God ideals within your life. Live to the glory of God. And on behalf of the One,
I want to share with you briefly an article called The New Humans by Mary Rodwell. This is a very amazing report about who is coming to this planet now. The Russian DNA research article revealed that if humans with full individuality would regain group consciousness, they would have a godlike power to create, alter, and shape things on Earth and humanity, and they would be collectively moving toward a group consciousness of a new kind. In other words, we would all have similar thinking patterns as or agree with each other rather than trying to make each other agree with us. They state that the individuality of today's children is so strong that they resist giving up their idiosyncrasies. At the same time, more and more clairvoyant children are being born. Something in those children is striving more towards group consciousness of a new kind, and it can no longer be suppressed. Are the Russian researchers, in fact, referring to what is now called ADD, the attention deficit disorder child, which is very common? Unfortunately, because there's no funded global research, it's hard to gain accurate statistics. But if the process of labeling children as ADD is an indicator of this phenomenon, then we are indeed evolving at an astounding rate when you take into consideration the huge number of ADD children born today. This article in India Daily said, in the deep regions of the Himalayas, people are reporting strange behaviors in children. The children use sign languages which are unknown to their families and anyone around them, yet they all seem to understand. Many of the children draw pictures of triangular objects flying in the sky. Many of them do not know what they saw and how they, and many adults do not know what they saw and how they learned these sign languages. Some in the region of Aksai Chin in India believe that these children regularly communicate with angels or spirits who are only visible to these children, and they communicate via telepathy. A number of Mexican children also manifest similar behavior, and many in the area there reported for a long time that this has been happening, and that the children, according to teachers in the schools, are extra agile and extra talented these days. Their problem-solving skills have increased, and they are much more disciplined. They often use a strange sign language among themselves, and they all seem to know it or have been born with it. However, they cannot seem to teach this language to adults. The locals in the area believe that there are angels that have been visiting the area for years and that it has increased in the last 10 or 15 years. Families have contacted me, says the author of this article, from all over the globe, not only from Australia, Europe, North and South America, but Asia and Russia, and all describe children advanced from the norm in psychological and physical development and with exceptional psychic abilities. In Mexico City, these same new humans have begun to emerge, and it is said that over 1,000 children are able to see with various parts of their bodies. Now, what I think has happened is that these children know what's happening behind them, to their right, to their left, above, and so their parents say they can see with any part of their body. And they communicate with each other without speaking. In some countries, government agencies are interested in such children, and they are actively researching this phenomenon. China has a huge program for investigating children with similar abilities, which is taken very seriously by the Chinese government and Beijing. In the book China's Super Psychics, the authors describe children with exceptional human functioning who display unusual patterns that they call these children indigo or star children. They, too, are very psychic and intuitive. For example, some have the ability to open flower buds by thinking. And like the Mexican children, many have shown an ability to see with other parts of their bodies, say their parents. They display telekinetic abilities as well as other fascinating skills, such as knowing their mother's thoughts or their father's thoughts. The qualities of these children seem to be that they are highly intelligent, they're very creative, they are developmentally advanced in reading, walking, talking, and so forth. They are very psychic and intuitive. They have multidimensional awareness. They perceive a broader range of reality, and it goes on and on and on. From a letter in the United States, I have the following. I started walking at 8 months, talking in sentences by 10 months, and learned and knew how to read at 2 years. No one taught me. I had friends who walked through walls, became invisible, and we spoke together telepathically. Now I learned that they might be called angels. I desperately wanted to go with them, but they told me I needed to stay here and learn from them, and I would be all right. A young man named David from Perth, Western Australia, now in his late 20s, said that about his childhood. He said, I would have telepathic conversations with my sister until she told me to stop being lazy and learn to talk, or start talking, rather. Some of the older children are able to explain their abilities and spiritual connections more precisely. Jason told his mother exactly what she was thinking and what everybody was thinking that walked by them or around them as they walked together in a park. 5-year-old Alden from Western Australia says, I don't mind going through the walls, and they teach me when I go through the walls with the angels more than I learn at school. They come through the walls. They float. They don't walk. They become invisible, but they are still around. They tell me I have to go back in my body, and that seems too bulky. His mother writes, this astounds me. He is very blasé about it and says he will introduce them to me one day. Aiden knows what I am thinking. He finishes my sentences for me, and he feels pain when I do. So that's just a little bit about some of the children being born on this planet today that I thought you would be interested in knowing.
Yes, blessed hearts. The archetype of the new age man or woman or child is one that you should consciously study and realize in some way. Year by year, month by month, week by week, day by day. And if you choose, you may secure a notebook and record after your meditations what it is that has transpired within your consciousness as you have attempted to self-realize that God ideal within your conscious, practical life. And at the close of your embodiment, looking back and reading the thesis of what you have created consciously, you will see the hand of God, the mind of God, and the heart of God involved in the dynamic of this process of your becoming your true self. and you will know with a cosmic certitude that the Holy Spirit, the Manus and the Chohans have been invested at every step of the game of your dreaming into realization, the divine, the holy, the sublime. Gracious and beloved ones, it is time for the ascension of thousands upon earth at the end of this age. And those who do not decide to progress within these cycles of light and of the ending of time as some have known it within this sphere will be delivered to another dimensional experience, either in another world or in one sense devolved into a lesser manifestation where it will take for them thousands of cycles of your earth time for them to come back to this point of opportunity, of evolution and attainment. Seek God first within your life and being. Know God through every breath and heartbeat. Fulfill God's plan in your life as the Manus and the Chohans have and will inspire you daily. And know that I am God within you in the highest sense, as that brooding presence of godliness, of holiness, of beingness, born of love, moving through the fields of love and fulfilled in divine love always.
I want to share with you just a little bit more from the book Saved by the Light. He says in this book, as I said, I was led to do hospice work by the visions. I was told to spend time around the dying people so that I would understand it from the perspective of others. By doing this work, I learned that stress reduction was the key to improving a person's life as well as their death. Many, many people die early because of the stress they were not able to relieve. And then he says, after I had my life review, the being of light, the angel who followed me everywhere and took me where I needed to go, gave me the opportunity to forgive everyone who had ever crossed me. That meant that I was able to shake the hatred that I had built up against many people. I didn't want to forgive many of these people because I felt that the things they had done to me were unforgivable. They had hurt me in business and in my personal life, and they had made me feel nothing for them but anger and disdain. But the being of light told me I had to forgive them, because if I didn't, he let me know I would be stuck at the level that I now occupied. What else could I do? Next to spiritual advancement, these earthly trespasses seemed trivial. Forgiveness flooded my being, my heart, along with a strong sense of humility. It was only then that I began to move upward. Now, he tells, he died more than once. He died the first time because of his tremendous electrocution, and he died a second time because of his heart failing. But he, both times he came back, and he had some fantastic experiences on the other side. And he tells how when he died the first time, he had to go through all the experiences of the people that he had killed as an assassin or that he had been mean to during his life. And he said it was horrible. It was like I was put in their body, and I felt exactly what I had done to them. It was very, very difficult. So he said the second time I died, it was much better because I went through a life review again, and this time I was already trying to make up for it. He had spent hours visiting, by the second time, he had spent hours visiting veterans in hospitals, helping go visiting people in the nursing homes and the retirement homes. He'd spent hours getting the picture of what it meant to give of himself. And after that, it was time for him to fulfill his real mission for being here, which was to fulfill the seven things that they told him to do. And they told him to build seven rooms, or a place with seven rooms, a therapy room in which people come together and talk, a massage clinic where people are not only massaged, but they massage others, a sensory deprivation chamber, which is another story where people go to relax and deep within themselves. It's a meditation room. A room equipped with biofeedback machines where people see the extent to which they can control their emotions and learn to change. An area for readings that allow those with psychic abilities to provide patients with personal insights about their lives. A room with a bed whose musical components relax a person so deeply that he can actually leave his body. And a reflection chamber in which a person, he says here, I envision the walls here as being made of polished stainless steel, but I still don't understand the purpose of this chamber. So he's learning more. He's still doing this. And I might mention that I met this man when I graduated from a ministerial course back in early 2000 years. I forget what year it was now. But as I came out into the vestibule at the building where I graduated from, somebody picked me up and squeezed me so hard that my shoes fell off. And I looked up at this man and I said, "Who are you?" Well, he just started laughing. He's a very vivacious, vibrant person. And all the people out there started laughing because I was so stunned. I had no idea. I had never met this man, and they introduced him to me as Danion Brinkley, the person that I've just been reading to you about. So now we will finish this last little part here.
Now, blessed ones, the Lord Jesus stands before you as the God ideal of the Piscean dispensation. And his attending angels deliver to you each one sacred communion this day. Take and eat the sacred ethereal body and blood of the Christ offered unto you as that word, as that logos of light. Receive the ministrations of these attending ones for this communion of eternal light substance will fare thee well during coming cycles when your testing may be rich in the heat and the dynamics of transformative change. And the friction whereby you will be renewed and refined in the refiner's fire of godliness and heart-centeredness in the One. Take and eat and drink of this divine light energy. And know that in God all things are possible, and that it is time to realize them, to fulfill them, to become them fully. As you surrender all that you have become accustomed to, that is less than perfection, and release into the eternal fire of God, the dross of your human consciousness.
Now he's going to say, burn through, blaze through, burn through, blaze through, burn through, blaze through, burn through, blaze through. I think he says it four times. So be ready to say it with Devas Vata Manu, and it will resound in your own body and help you see the light going out. You can even hold up one of your hands and send the light out from your heart, your hand, and your whole body to the rest of the world for the angels to take and use in helping people receive this light, because you all have this light in you right now. So here we go.
Burn through, blaze through, burn through,
blaze through,
burn through,
blaze through,
burn through,
blaze through.
That dross now. As we reclaim it for God and for the light, you are subsumed into light. You are transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Be love, beloved, and live forevermore in God. I thank you.
So let me encourage you again. I want to read one last little part from this book, Saved by the Light. He says, I know that the path I am on is a unique one. I am frequently told this by the people I meet. Once, this is funny, once after speaking to a church group about my life, a woman approached me with a look of puzzlement on her face. She had heard many people speak about God, she said, but never one quite like me. I'll bet you take a drink, she said. Yes, ma'am, I do. And you obviously like women, don't you? Yes, ma'am, I do. Then I will say this, Mr. Brinkley, she said, giving me the evil eye. When God was looking for prophets, he must have been scraping the bottom of the barrel to have found you. Of course, this is a typical reaction of some people in certain churches. They sometimes spend so much time being judgmental that they don't really take the opportunity to grow. So he responds to this by saying, well, I couldn't agree more with you, ma'am. I only have to look into a mirror and see the man that I have become to be totally baffled by all that has happened. Why me, I often ask. Why did this kind of thing happen to me? I never asked for it to happen. I never got on my knees and asked the good Lord to change my life and change me. In fact, this man changed so much that his wife could not deal with it, because she was she was not changing, and he did, and she could not quite deal with it, so she left him. So he goes on, he says, why me? To that question, I have no answer. Still, in my search for consolation, I frequently find myself reading 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 14, which contains some of the most powerful writing in the Holy Bible. In that chapter can be found the verse that gave me comfort, and it's this. It says, but he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, spiritual growth, and exhortation and comfort. I don't know why I was chosen to do what I do. I only know that my work is to be continued. And you can read the next book that he wrote. I can't remember the name of it. I think it might be Well, I thought it might be on the back of this one, but it's not. You can look him up, Danyon Brinkley. And he has some of the most amazing books about the things that he learned. When he got well, he was very psychic, and he was able to, and he still is able to prophesy and share with people what he sees happening. And he's now married again, and he seems quite healthy, and he seemed quite healthy that time I ran into him, or he ran into me, or whatever, as I graduated from this school at that time. And he just said, well, I picked her up and swung her around because I thought somebody should celebrate this great happening. And I, of course, I forgave him for shocking me so, or startling me so much. But that was a fun experience. So now I'm going to seal this time. And would somebody, Donna Dregan, would you close in prayer for us? And then I would like any of you who would like to stay with us for our prayer time. And Barbara Gabbard, who should be on by now, is going to lead the prayer time. And you may give us your requests, and we will put them, write them down and pray for you all week. And if any of you would like, we can put your requests in our prayer chalice so that others will be praying for you also. We see some powerful results in prayer. And if people are meant to stay in certain situations and not change, physically that is, say, they are able to have the strength to learn the lessons that they need to learn by their current conditions and learn to be happy and praise God no matter what state they find themselves in. As Paul the Apostle said, he said, I find myself content in whatever situation I so find myself. So, Donna, would you pray for us?
Okay. In the name I am that I am, we call to Vedasvata Manu to be with us in the retreat as we go to sleep at night, making sure that we ask Archangel Michael to protect us as we go through the astral plane so that we may learn, and that we go to the different retreats every night to learn, to help, to purify our body, to do what we meant to do. We were meant to do this lifetime, and that we will ascend at the end of this age. We ask to go with us everywhere we go, and we ask also all of the archangels and the ascended masters, we will go to your retreats this night and every night. We thank you. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to stop the recording now. And Barbara, are you there? Barbara? If you're there, hit star 6 and let us know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm going to,
I am.
I will stop the recording now, and then you can go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. Well, as we do at the end of our sessions, we have paid prayer requests.